Well, I heard some sad news this week. A star is dying. Not a Hollywood star, a heavenly star. One of my favorites, actually. I like stargazing, and a couple of nights last week, we had those clear skies, and one of the first constellations I always look for is the constellation Orion. Do you ever find Orion? He's easy to find with the three stars, the belt and the arm. And well, this star, his shoulder that holds up the sword, is called Betelgeuse. Odd name for a star. And it's reddish, and it's pretty bright. And the word came out this week that scientists are pretty sure that it's in a dying phase right now, which is why it has that reddish color. And they said it can die any time between now and 100,000 years from now. So don't look up waiting for it to die. But there it is, this bright spot on his shoulder as he holds his sword up, the great hunter in the sky. And he's in the winter sky now, January through March, in the northern hemisphere. Take a look at it. He's kind of up there at night. I won't see him tonight. The star is dying. And when it dies, it will provide this supernova, this great brightness that they said we'll be able to see. It'll be almost as bright as the sun for a period of time. A remarkable celestial event. Our readings as we continue in the Christmas season bring us to a different star. It's a star that's not dying. It's a star that rises and leads the Magi to behold a different light, a light that isn't dying. The star of Bethlehem would disappear after it did what it was supposed to do to guide those people to the true light, the Christ child, in the arms of his mother Mary. But the Magi make a choice to journey. They choose to take a risk, to leave a far-off land, to travel to the land of Judah. Word has gotten of a newborn king. Heavenly events had led them to this place. And they take the risk and they come. And they're willing to behold this child as a newborn king, to present him with these extravagant gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But what they did was remarkable. They were willing to leave their homeland. They were willing to leave the security and the comfort and take a risk and say, let us journey to behold this Christ, this newborn king. And they do. And when they're ready to return and they know Herod's conniving to try to find out where this Jesus is, because Herod, as the current king, is threatened by this Jesus, this infant king, they're told in a dream to go back another way, and they do. The Feast of the Epiphany is about that in our own lives, is not looking up at a dying star, as impressive as that will be, but to look for a light that will last, a light that we're willing to make a journey towards in our own life, a journey that we're willing to risk to encounter this Jesus in our life so that we can allow this Jesus to guide us. Not stars and satellites and planets, but the Christ himself, who calls us to continue a journey once we meet him. And the journey is changed by our encountering him in such a way that, yes, they go back to their home, but they go back in a different way. They're changed by that encounter of the newborn king. The question for us is, are we changed that way as well? Do we allow this Jesus, when we encounter him here and now in this Eucharist, in any of the sacraments, in reconciliation, the anointing of the sick, in confirmation, the waters of baptism, do we allow our encounter with this Jesus to change us in such a way that we're willing to take the risk and not follow all those other stars that seem to be bright and shiny that lure us away from the true light, Jesus himself? Because all those stars will fade away, the heavens themselves will pass away, but the true light, this Jesus, will shine bright forever.
And we're challenged to behold that light and take it into our own lives and into our own heart so that light can radiate from our own words and our own actions as we forgive, as we serve, as we love, as we celebrate the marriages and the friendships and all those other relationships that God gifts us with, as we discover our own vocation to see who we are and who we're called to be. That is the light we're called to embrace. That is the light that comes to us now, not looking upwards, but looking here, where bread and wine is changed into the body and blood of the same child, the same Christ that the Magi encountered that night, having followed a star. Stars will come and go. Poor Betelgeuse will fade away in some supernova someday between now and 100,000 years. But what we have now is the light that has come into the world and has shattered the darkness of sin and death and fear and doubt. Let us take that light into our own lives.